Good morning, Westwood Church. It's such a privilege and an honor, excuse me, to be with you this morning. I'm very excited. This is my first official sermon, and it's such a blessing to be able to meet in this way virtually. I just feel such a blessing to be able to teach today on the word that will be before us, especially since this church has been a home church for me, and you've all shaped me in some way, in some form. And so I just pray that you would just join me, that we would just turn our hearts to God and what he'd have for us this morning. I'll just start us off in some prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this incredible day. Thank you, Lord, for your son. Thank you, God, for just for the way that we can come together as a church, that we can come together in worship, in communion, and in word. Lord, I just thank you that you are in the midst of every circumstance for all those that are on the other side of this screen. And God, your loving hand is upon them. Would you bless us this day richly with your word? And I just thank you, Lord, and pray that you just be with all those as we go forward from here. Amen. So this week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I've had the opportunity to be a part of so many different prayer groups. And I've been just so thankful and so encouraged to see how many people have been wanting to gather together during this time. Just amidst the COVID crisis, as things have been getting a little more hectic and the news is kind of telling us much more negative things, it's just been so encouraging to see how the Spirit is moving, to see people coming together to pray to God during this time. But I confess to you, something that I've really found as more confirmed cases are coming about and more layoffs are happening and all this other news about what's happening in other places of the world and even just what's happening within our own country, I sometimes get lost in all the chaos of it all. And I sometimes feel the anxiety kind of well up within me and often find myself praying much more than I think I ever have, which I confess I feel I should have been doing more of it all along. And it's around this time that I kind of felt convicted that we're in a season of Lent, that this is a time to remember what Jesus has done for us. And I think sometimes when we're in this chaos, we can kind of feel lost in it all, and yet we have hope. And it's in this hope that I want to return us today, because we have hope in someone who's overcome the world and the challenges of it. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to take them out. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, specifically in verse 26, and verse 36. And so we find ourselves in the context of Jesus has just had this intimate moment of the Last Supper. They've just departed from that room. They're headed to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is going to spend some time in prayer. And it's late at night, it's dark, and this is where we find ourselves. Then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible, may this cup be taken away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. You know, I find if for those of us that are quite familiar with the Easter story, and for those of us that have grown up around the church, a story like this one can almost be heard like white noise in a sense, especially when we compare it to the events that happen afterwards. However, I find if we skip too soon, we kind of miss something very important, very tangible that's happening here that really will resonate with our situation, I think. You see, this is a Jesus that we're kind of unfamiliar with. This is the most vulnerable we've ever seen him. Where many people throughout all of Judea, throughout most of the narrative of the Gospels, we see them falling face down in front of him, crying out for help, crying out to have them healed or to have someone else healed. And yet here we see the opposite. We see Jesus falling face down in the garden, praying to God. And it's here that I want us to just to picture for a moment being one of the disciples. Imagine being awake and seeing this man who's your teacher, your master, who's led you these 3 years in this incredible journey. You've watched him teach in such authoritative ways. You've seen him heal miraculously. You've seen him dispel demons from people. You've literally seen him walk on water and calm storms. The confidence that you must have in this individual would be strong, I would imagine. And yet, now we see him in such great agony and sorrow. In the Gospel of Luke, we get a little added detail that Jesus was in so much agony that he was literally sweating droplets of blood. Could you imagine seeing that for a moment? This person that you look up to and are so confident in, and they're sweating droplets of blood. How disturbed would you feel? What do you think would be going through your mind? You see, what's interesting about this is Jesus being fully God and fully man. We are seeing something that is a real situation for most of us in life. You see, there's this internal battle that is going on within him. Jesus being so obedient to God is constantly wanting to do his will. And yet we see the very real human temptation to flee, to want to be safe. Jesus says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." This cup representing all the suffering, all the abuse, all the torture that he would go through after this. And maybe some of you can kind of relate to a situation like this. Maybe some of you can relate to this internal tension of wanting to do the will of God, but also feeling the desire to do your own will. You know, around this time last year, my grandfather, someone who has had a huge shape in my own life and played a huge role in my sister's life, he was on his deathbed. And it was during this time that I was firmly rooted at UNBC. I was a master's student. I was doing a creative thesis. It would have been the first biblical thesis in favor of the Bible that would have been produced there. And I had actually written about half of it and felt quite content with where I was at. And yet, it was during this time, as my grandfather was on his deathbed, that I kept wrestling with an internal tension of my own. You see, earlier that year, I'd felt a call. I felt a call from God to go into ministry. I felt a call from God to become a pastor. And to be honest, I was kind of shocked. I didn't know if this was truly from God, and I wrestled with issues of like, is this me or is this him? How do I know these aren't my own thoughts? I'd called people, I'd asked wise mentors, received their advice, but I kind of just left it at the wayside. Soon my grandfather, he passed away. We moved my grandmother up here, and it was Easter of last year that Rob taught a passage on the disciples when they returned to go fishing and what that boat represented, that boat representing everything to Peter that was his old life, his life before Jesus had come. And you see, it was in that moment that I had felt this really deep calling again from God that I am to go and to become a pastor. And to be honest, it was so strong that I knew again that if I disobeyed, that like I for sure was denying his will completely. There was no doubt in my mind. And since that day forward, I remember surrendering to God and saying, "Your will be done. I'll follow you." I went up in tears. I talked to Rob afterwards. I talked with Pastor Craig. I dropped out of my master's degree, and then I signed up for seminary, and here I am. But you see, I look back on that moment, and even though I'm very thankful that I heard God in such a very powerful way and obeyed, there's so many other times in my life where I didn't. So many other times in my life where I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something, and I knew it was going to require something significant of me, but I disobeyed, and kind of like Peter, I felt like I denied my God. And you know what? We can see that in this passage here, actually. We can see that in this passage. So after Jesus goes and he prays and he comes back to talk to his disciples, he finds them sleeping. And he says to them, "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, there's something very powerful about that statement, a very deep reality that we need to consider, especially in our current crisis today. There's a very real temptation from our own flesh to want to go our own way in doing things in life, wanting to seek out our own safety, our own security, and yet the will of the Father calls us to follow him. And we see the disciples, they don't respond in the same way, right? When Jesus goes a second time to pray and he comes back, the disciples are again asleep. And then again a third time. You know, Jesus had told them time and time again right before this, even during the Last Supper, that he was going to die and that trouble would come upon them, that they'd be going through some turmoil. And yet we can tell that they weren't getting that they were falling into the temptation of the flesh because they were asleep. Jesus, being in agony and in pain, like any one of us, would go and seek those closest, our companions, those of us, family, that have been with us to help us through these times, and yet here they are asleep. And it's actually in this verse, verse 41, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." There's something about that is so crucial for both you and me. See, the first thing that we need to understand is that when we face an unpleasant situation, is that sometimes God's will isn't leading us away from trials, but actually into them. And the second thing we need to remember is when we're called into a circumstance like that, we will always have a choice, whether to obey God in that instance or to obey ourselves. You see, Jesus exemplifies for us something that's very powerful in this moment. Something that's really incredible. You know, he says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me." We see the real cry, the real temptation to want to be safe, to want to go your own way. But Jesus, being fully God and obedient to his Father, says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." We see in the second time, Matthew records it for us, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Now that wording is very interesting. You know, when we read it, there's a bit more conviction to it. There's a tone of a little more confidence. And even though Matthew doesn't record the third time of what he prays, there's just there's a sense, I speculate, of more conviction and more confidence. And the reason why I say that is because he's exemplifying the Lord's Prayer. He's exemplifying the very prayer that he taught his disciples, especially when he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We see not only in that moment that Jesus taught the disciples that, but we now have him completely living it out, living out this example of what it means to follow God and to obey his will as it is in heaven. And yet the part of it that's really challenging that I think we only understand maybe a fraction of is most of us would see this temptation to flee. And yes, very much so. The physical reality that we all know, the abandoning, the betrayal, the fact that he'd be humiliated and ashamed, beaten, tortured, forced to carry a cross, have to wear a crown of thorns, nailed to that cross, and later even gouged with a spear, even after he's dead. And yet I actually think that's only a fraction of what was causing him to be in such agony and turmoil? And I actually think the answer is found in just the next chapter. In Matthew 27, verse 46, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, what's really the piece of agony, I think, that he was really struggling with was in that moment as he took on the sin of the whole world upon himself, he felt the face of the Father turn away. That very face that he had an intimate connection with his entire life, and he felt it turn away. See, what's so powerful about that is that Jesus willingly denied himself access to the Father so that you and I could have access to him forever. Jesus willingly denied himself access to his Father so that you and I could have access to him forever. And why? Out of love. And out of a love that is beyond comprehension. You see, he did this for us, not just for those of us that might respond in faith, but he did that for those that would openly reject his name. He did that for those that would maybe walk with him a little while and then turn away. And for those of us that may be on the fence, Jesus did it for all of humanity. Because he cares that much for us. I think the apologist, Ravi Zacharias, actually put it best when he said, "This is not a different kind of man. No, this is a different kind of God. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, there's no other God of any other religion that would willingly subject themselves to such humiliation, torture, and death for their people. And yet Jesus was willing to do that because God could not accept being separated from us. And that is so beautiful. I'd like to close with an application. And there's two things that I want for you to consider. I believe most of us in this time of the COVID crisis fall under one of these two categories. And the first is to consider the disciples for a moment and to consider how they were asleep. You see, Jesus was in agony. And like I mentioned before, the real desire to be with someone, with anyone that would help you walk through this hard time is very real. And it's very real right now. I know many of you that may be watching this are probably undergoing circumstances that even I can't comprehend. We're all going through challenging times during this COVID crisis. And yet, I want to encourage you to not be like the disciples in that moment that decided to be asleep. But would you awake? And while we have the technology to call, to FaceTime, to do these various things where we can stay communicated, would you not reach out to those that are in such pain, that are in their own Garden of Gethsemane right now, that could just really use someone to come alongside them, to listen to them, and to pray for them? Maybe you fall under the second category. And to be honest, I've fallen under this one a few times as this crisis has gotten bigger. You see, with layoffs and so many different things happening, we might find ourselves with more time on our hands and kind of wondering, what do I do with all this time? Or maybe layoff is not a reality for you. Maybe you are busier than ever right now during this time. And yet, God has maybe been prompting something on your heart, been prompting something for a while. I encourage us in this moment that you would go find a quiet place, whether it's in your home, maybe it's out for a walk somewhere, and just take 20 minutes. That's all it is, 20 minutes. And just to be in listening prayer and to simply ask him, "My God, I surrender my will to yours. What would you have me do in this moment?" I've been so encouraged to see how many people have been so active during this time, and I want to continue to encourage us that as we wrestle through what is currently happening in our lives, that we continue to pour and to look to Jesus, to pour into others and to see and to help those that God would have us help. Let us listen to his will during this time. Would you pray with me? King Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this season of Lent, that we can be reminded of what you did for all of humanity, that you were willing to die on the cross in the most horrific way possible so that we could have the opportunity of life and relationship with you. Father, we confess that we sin almost daily and that we are in constant need of grace. And yet we thank you, Lord, that you are so willing to give that to us who earnestly seek it out. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would be with those on the other side of this camera and prompt them, Lord, to respond in love to your will, to respond in love to those that are really hurting and going through some real agony. We pray comfort on those people, Lord. We pray that your spirit would be with them as we know that you are. We pray, Lord, and look to you during the midst of this crisis and ask that you be with all of those throughout the globe that are really suffering right now. We thank you that we can have hope in the one who overcame death and the cross. In Jesus' name we pray.